Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Lineup Media Studios, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, season number 2, show number 4, recorded February 8th, 2021. Thanks to partners Cassens & Sons, Pin Oak Agency Insurance and Risk Management, Keller Williams, Marquis, Jeb, and Ginger Blasting Game. We're talking all things sports in the Metro East. I'm Dave Leip. And as always, I'm going to ask you for 3 things. Please subscribe to our podcast. You know it's free. Number 2, please check us out in all of our social media platforms. Twitter, Facebook, like the kids say, the gram. And please, if you have a story idea, especially if it's a good one, if it wakes you up at night and you say to yourself, self, this person would make a great guest, I want you to email me at mespdave@gmail.com. Okay, as usual, huge show today. Starting at the back end of the show, we got brand new Muscoota boys basketball coach, Cole Showmaker, and one of the area's top players, 6'3 point guard, Justin King. Guest number 3, Katie Hoppe, brand new hoops coach, taking over for a legend at EHS. Katie Hoppe, Edwardsville Tiger basketball coach, got her first win on Saturday. Today she's going to talk about win number 1. Guest number 2 is Todd Duke of the K-Hawk Sports Network. This guy is Mr. K-Hawk. On YouTube, check him out. K-Hawk Nation. Guest number 1, my friend for 30 years, going back to Granite City High School. Welcome to the show, Jeb Blasingame.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Awesome to see you again.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We go back to Granite City High School Student Council.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Hamilton.
Yep, back in the good old days, 1983, 84?
Yep.
84, yeah, that's when Granite City South and Granite City North merged, my junior year and your senior year.
That's right. Yep. And all of a sudden, our teams went from good to really good.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you had two varsity programs, feeder programs. And, you know, you combine North and South soccer. How was that soccer team?
It was good. It was real good. It took a while for Coach Baker really to merge the two because you still had the Granite City North, Granite City South mentality. You know, we're still kind of fighting, trying to figure out how we're going to get along, who's going to play. I mean, it was tough for Coach Baker. I mean, I don't envy that coach at all.
For tennis, it was awesome.
Really?
Yep. We were already buddies. I was already great friends with Rob Lombardi. And I knew Matt Sheridan a little bit.
Right.
And it was just fun for us to all of a sudden be really good and have good players at practice. It was a lot of fun. Jeff Rush, Lakin was on that team. Jerry
really?
Lakin. Yeah. It was fun. We loved it.
Soccer was a little different. My last year before we merged Granite City South, we went to the state. But in order to get to state, we had to beat Granite City North. And I'm pretty sure in that game or the game before, it was the bench – clearing brawl, cops were called. I mean, you talk about fighting.
No kidding.
Oh yeah, it was crazy.
Players.
Oh yeah,
players. From both benches
cleared.
So what happened with the game?
We had fans come on the field. The cops had to come out and break up everything. I mean, those are the type of games that Granite City North and Granite City South had. It was intense.
I don't remember that, but I.
We still talk about it, you know. It's fun.
So who wins the game? Is it a double forfeit?
But no. Well, one game, Granite City North walked off the field and said we're done, and just walked to the bus and left. So it was fun. But so we went from that mentality.
I'm trying to think of the coach's name. Coach
Kehoe.
Yes, Bob Kehoe.
Yeah, he was great.
Standing up on the bench. I remember going to a few soccer games as a kid.
Oh yeah.
And watching him stand up on the bench. And, man, there were so many great players. And, you know, we had Gene Baker on the show.
Right. Oh, yeah. Coach is a legend.
Yeah. But you played 3 sports.
Correct.
At Granite City High School.
Yeah.
What a stud.
I don't know about that.
Basketball?
Basketball.
Track?
Track. And soccer.
Soccer. And you were the goalie.
I was a goalie. Funny thing about basketball, in 8th grade, I was 6'2", I was a center. You know, I was one of the bigger boys in the conference. When I was a senior, 6'2", guard. I didn't grow at all.
Oh, well, you could handle the ball. That's good. Good for you. That's great. So which one were you best at? Soccer.
Soccer. Yeah.
You were an awesome goalie.
Thanks.
To be an awesome goalie, you have to be fearless.
Gotta be kind of crazy. I remember a quick story when I was a freshman trying out, you know, I was in awe of Coach Baker and wanted to play. And Coach Baker came to me and said, the only way you're going to play for me is if you're a goalie. And I'm like, what? I don't want to be a goalie. went home, talked to my dad and said, well, Coach Baker wants me as a goalie. Darn it. I'm going to be a goalie.
How about that?
So
you were in eighth grade when he said that?
Freshman.
You were a freshman.
Freshman trying out.
And he looks at a 6'2 kid with the ball on his feet, and he says, this kid is athletic, and I bet you he's tough, and I want him in the program, but he doesn't have the soccer technique just yet.
Exactly. My foot skills were not up to par. So he saw my hands, and was athletic. I could jump. I could run. He was like, all right, see what I can do in goal.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, he
and you were fast. Life. Because you ran 400. You ran the 400 even in college.
Yep, ran the 400, which is it's a fun race. You just sprint. There's no there's no planning. There's no technique. It's just gun goes off. You run as fast as you can.
All the way around the track one time. That's not a short sprint, though.
No.
It's exciting, though. I like to watch it.
Yeah, it was fun.
And then you go to UIC, University of Illinois Chicago, and you're going to play soccer there, and your life changes when you find out that you've got a brain tumor.
Right. Had a brain tumor. Just started having seizures about 3 or 4 times a day. Couldn't figure out what was going on. They finally did an MRI and found out I had a brain tumor. That kind of ended my soccer career because my equilibrium was shot after that. So as a goalie, you go to make a save, you dive, you get up, and the world's spinning. You're kind of done.
Yeah. And then you attempted a comeback as a coach at Western. And that didn't, you were too torn between wanting to be on the field.
Correct. Coach McKenzie, he was amazing coach. He recruited me out of high school. He kind of followed me a little bit in college, knew about it. We had a bunch of Grant C boys that went to Western.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brought me in and said, hey, why don't you coach my goalies? I did that for one season and just wasn't the same.
You missed it.
Missed it too much. So I focused on getting back into student government. Like you said, like we did in high school, and kind of went that direction.
Became vice president of the student body?
Vice president, student body. I was president of the student body off campus. Had a great time, got to meet a lot of people, and really learned a lot.
Yeah. Fast forward to today. You're partnering with the show, with your business. Keller Williams Marquis, Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game, Realtors. And we're super excited about that.
Yeah, we are too. Like, sports is my life. I loved it. I still watch it, especially high school sports. You know, my high school days were the best. And I just see these kids nowadays, and I know they're having a time in their life. And I just want to be a part of it. And if I can support them, if I can help buy soccer balls or basketballs or whatever I can do to help out, I do it.
I know you've done that for Collinsville High School teams. I know you've done that for Edwardsville High School teams. I know that you are a very civic-minded entity.
I try to be. You know, my parents taught me that, and Coach Baker really instilled that in us, that you want to give back.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do.
It's obvious. I see that. And you are great at your job.
Well, thanks, Dave.
Because
I appreciate it.
You helped Stacy and I. We sold our house so fast because you knew how to stage it.
Right.
You knew how to stage it. You sent Kelly? What was her name?
Tiffany.
Tiffany. You sent Tiffany to the house, and she walked through with Stacy with us, and it was just amazing how much that helped. And then you knew how to sell it.
Right. I appreciate that, Dave. Yeah. I don't know how to stage it, but I have the people who know how to stage it.
You do.
You know? And that's what I have my team. I have a stager. I have a closer. She works really hard to get the deals shut. I have an accounting person to make sure all the bills are paid at closing. I have my team of agents.
What are you doing in all this?
I just go out, get to meet people back in high school days and have fun.
Now you worked with me. You helped me. In fact, it was your wife who showed Stacy and me the house that we ended up buying.
Right.
So you're very active. You've got a great team.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
How many agents do you have now?
Right now, on my personal team, we have 5 agents. But since Ginger and I opened up Keller Williams Marquis, we're up to about 136 agents.
With offices in?
In Granite City, Edwardsville, O'Fallon, and Waterloo.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said Edwardsville too, right?
Yes.
Okay. Edwardsville. And that's where you are most of the time, right?
Yes.
And how can folks get a hold of you? Because I promise you, people, if you want to sell a house, if you want to buy a house, you have to call Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game. Top notch for me, and they'll be top notch for you. How do they get a hold of you?
You can call me at 618-578-9565 or email me at jeb@blastinggamegroup.com.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for coming by today.
Sure.
So good to see you. And you're going to come back because we're going to be true partners in the sense that you're going to work with the show and help us identify the great stories and be around and help me interview some guests.
Definitely.
You ready?
Pleasure.
Send your wife next time.
Oh, I will. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate
Thanks, Jeb.
It.
Thanks to partners Cassens & Sons, the number one place to purchase a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram in the Metro East. If you're in the market for a new or a pre-owned car, check out Cassens inventory in person, where they've been for 25 years, or online at Cassens.com. Cassens has earned the highest ratings for customer service. Their expert staff is committed to making your car buying experience enjoyable, including convenient on-site financing. I've purchased 4 vehicles there. My daughter drives back and forth to IU in a Jeep, and my wife and I drive a Jeep Grand Cherokee. With over 80 years of experience in the Metro East, Cassens is the clear-cut leader for quality service and customer satisfaction. Go see Steve, Cliff, Holly, Greg, Bob, Mike, Tony, or Trent today. Tell them I sent you. Guest number 2, Mr. Collinsville, Mr. K-Hawk from the K-Hawk Sports Network. Welcome to the show, Todd Duke.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
So nice to see you. And I live in your school district.
Yeah, it's nice to see anybody, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's been some lonely times here.
It has.
But things are getting better.
Yes, they are. Finally had our first live sporting event that had K-Hawks in the purple and white in 332 days. My first game was Saturday, girls game.
Girls basketball.
Girls basketball.
So at the K-Hawk Sports Network, you're currently calling boys and girls basketball, and eventually, possibly, everything.
Yeah, I do pretty much everything. I even do hockey. But hockey team right now, they were playing, but they were playing in a jamboree at the East Dalton Ice Rink. But unfortunately, right when the state cleared us to move to phase 4, they got COVID shut down. So they're not playing right now. So therefore, I'm just doing basketball. Normally this year, I would also do bowling. But the bowling teams have their own YouTube channel, so I let them kind of go and do their thing this year because I'm not real comfortable going to a bowling alley and staying inside for 3 hours with a bunch of people that I don't normally hang around with this time of year. So that's really the only reason that I'm not doing bowling, or else I'd be doing bowling this year too. And I usually do a couple of wrestling matches as well.
And you had the YouTube shows for a while there.
I did.
And folks can still go back and check that out. I watched your interview with Joe Beavis.
Yeah, okay. That was a good one.
He's a great, great interview. He's funny and energetic, and I would love to play for that guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's got some good stories to tell, too. He's got a really, his whole background is a good story to tell. So
I think so.
Having him on there was fun. Yeah, we ended up doing 10 episodes. That was in place of no sports.
Right.
So, I own the website, and we live stream our games on the YouTube channel. But I make my money by sponsorships. So come August, I didn't have any sports to sell. So I said, Clay Smith actually was the one who came up with the idea, the athletic director at Collinsville High School. He said, let's do a podcast. So I said, okay, let's do that. And, he was under the impression that we're going to do a podcast and there's not going to be any video. So we're just one of those that you listen to. But I'm
like this one.
Yeah, like this one.
Currently.
So I gave him an earphone or a microphone, clip-on microphone set, and I said, plug this into your phone, and you get one, the guest gets another one, and then you have a tripod, put your camera on it, point it. He's like, what? We're not doing it just audio only? I'm like, no, I have a K-Hawk, I'm a video live streamer, so no. So we ended up doing 10 episodes, and it was a lot of fun, but now I'm really ready to get back to what it is that we came up with the K-Hawk Sports Network for.
How did you get into this?
I'm an old radio guy. I went to Broadcast Center over in St. Louis. Alma mater or alumni would include John Hewlett, KC95. That's where he got his broadcasting chops. So I went there as well, graduated in 88. Went to a couple of different stations. Piedmont, Missouri was my first stop. I also ended up in fine places like North Platte, Nebraska, and Neosho, Missouri, and a couple of other stops along the way. Lake of the Ozarks was a lot of fun.
As a radio DJ?
As a radio DJ.
Bring me in. Bring me into something like Emerson Lake and Palmer or something like that. Let's hear it.
You know, then the funny thing is all my stops in throughout all the years was always at a country station. Because typically your small town country stations, they have the news and they do high school sports and stuff like that. Your rock and roll stations, they don't do that stuff. So I was always spinning the country tunes, so to speak. And
stick around, folks. We got a real big Conway guy. Twitty coming
Conway
up.
Conway Twitty. I did. My last stop in the world of radio was in Carlisle, 97.5 The Rock radio station out there. They were a rock station and they carried sports. So for a little while, I was doing Breeze, Modern Day Games, Westland, Warriors, Carlisle Indians. So I did that. And it was there that I started on Facebook. And I'm like, you know, modern day technology is awesome these days. I would love to have my own radio station in Collinsville. Because, you know, us over here in the Metro East, we're small potatoes compared to St. Louis. Therefore, we really get shut out of a lot of coverage by the St. Louis media. So I said, I would like my own radio station. That is costly. Your own building, your own tower, your own transmitter, all the stuff that goes with it. So I said, you know what's not is the internet. So came up with an idea, and myself and one of my fellow graduates launched it in 2010 and been going ever since. I bought it a few years ago, and now it's solely mine, and been having a blast with it, man. I added on hockey. I added on bowling. I added on wrestling, and it's been a lot of fun. Been a labor of love.
Awesome. And where can folks find you?
Online, www.khawksportsnetwork.com. That'll take you right to the YouTube page. And there are occasions when, as you know, modern-day technology doesn't work sometimes. Sometimes the YouTube servers crash. Sometimes things happen in the gymnasium that I'm in. And in that case, I switch over and whip out my phone. And I go live on our Facebook page, which is on Facebook under Khawk Sports Network. So most of the games are on YouTube, but if we have to, we'll switch over to the Facebook page. And there's been times during playoffs, especially in the spring, when baseball and softball playoffs are going on at the same time, where you have a regional championship game for the softball team and a regional championship game for the baseball team on the exact same day at the exact same time. So I'll go out to do, let's say, the baseball game on the YouTube channel, and one of my friends will take their phone, and they will live stream it on the Facebook page. So we have two games at once.
Why Collinsville?
That's where I went to school.
Born and bred.
Born in Portsmouth, Virginia. Dad was in the Navy. And moved here when I was 3 years old and went to the Collinsville School District from second grade on. Lived in Caseyville. I grew up in Caseyville.
And you're loving it.
I am.
And Collinsville seems to have it going on right now. I think Clay Smith's doing a heck of a job. Basketball program. Rayshon last year, I think, was the story of the winter.
Oh, yeah. It was so much fun following that kid. And I knew that that team was destined for things. I said it at the end when the basketball season ended, when all those kids were a sophomore. I said, I cannot wait for these next 2 years. Their junior and their senior seasons are going to be something special. Junior season, they almost won that Prairie Farms basketball tournament. And then the playoffs started, and they got knocked out by Alton in the championship game of the regionals. But I knew coming into their senior year, they were going to be a special, special team. And boy, it just makes me hate COVID even more.
Yeah, that was really a shame. You know, you think about the devastating storylines from COVID. Obviously, the people who lost their lives is number one.
Oh, definitely.
But I think and the people who lost their careers and their jobs is right there. But some of the seasons, you know, like some people lost seasons and that's one thing. But some people lost seasons where they had a legitimate shot at a state championship. An historic run,
yes,
if you will. And that's not too dramatic to say. And for a lot of people, Collinsville basketball is like, they care about the Cardinals and the Blues on a much lower level than their hometown basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that, and that's why you do what you do, and that's why I do what I do, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that is there because of everything that came before. Virgil Fletcher set that whole thing in motion, man. His teams and his success made Friday night basketball in Collinsville, the place to be back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and even the 70s when they weren't winning championships. And that just set the groundwork for it. And this past year was going to be something special. We knew. I mean, they beat O'Fallon in that sectional semifinal game. They had Normal in their sights just a couple of days later, and you knew they were going to win that and at least go to the state championship. Now, would they have finished first, second, third, or fourth? I don't know. I think that they probably could have taken the whole thing, and most people will tell you the same thing. But we'll never know because it never got to happen, but I think that they would have been there.
I agree. Give me your top game you've called. Like when I ask you, think back of the great games you called, which one jumps to the front of your brain?
Basketball-wise, would have to be last year's Prairie Farms Championship. I mean, that just vanquished the ghost of the year before. First of all, they got to knock off Springfield Southeast, which beat them the year before in the championship game. But they did so a little bit earlier than championship game. So, but they ended up playing a state-ranked team in Mundelein. And they just took charge of that game probably midway through the first quarter and never looked back. And it was just something to call. I loved it.
That's awesome. And what about the response from the community? Are you getting a lot of positive response? Are you getting emails from people? Are they coming to you and saying, you know what, I really want to thank you, Todd Duke, for having the Kayak Sports Network?
All the time, man. All the time. And it's awesome every time I hear it. I never get sick of hearing it. I'm not looking for it. But, you know, people just come up to me and they'll tell me stories about how their grandma and grandpa that live in Arkansas, you know, they can't make it up here.
Right.
So they, you know, routinely watch us on the Kayak Sports Network. And you know, Saturday night is a good example. I mean, it's our first game in 332 days. It's girls basketball. Girls basketball will typically, I'll get about 200 to 300 viewers per game. Got 700.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, there's only 50 people that can be in the gym. So it just only makes sense that people are going to watch online.
Yes.
Family, fans, friends, everybody is going to watch online. So in some ways, your service is even more integral.
Yeah.
It was.
It is, and now with more and more schools jumping on the technology bandwagon, they have ways to live stream too. On the games that I'm not doing, these coaches have their little huddle tablets that they use to set up, and that's how they recorded their games so they can dissect the film and have better practices and learn things from that. Well, now they're using those to actually live stream. No play-by-play. You know, there's no sound or anything like that, but you can see what's going on, and you can see the scoreboard and things like that. So that's becoming more and more prevalent. But I think that because I've been doing this for 10 years, people in Collinsville just have kind of grown accustomed to hearing me do some play-by-play. And I was told during, you know, the COVID shutdown, man, I missed hearing your voice. No one ever says that to me, but, you know, that's kind of cool.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I want you to come out to a tennis match.
Oh, God. I don't know tennis well enough to probably do a tennis match. The girls' tennis team asked me earlier if I would think about doing a match.
Lindsay Taylor was here. Where were you, man?
And for one, the setup, you know, not really sure how it would work. Would I have to set up inside of the Finston tennis area?
Outside.
And then my, you know, a tennis ball strays and hits my camera and knocks it over and, you know, stuff like that.
Outside,
I got the fence in the way, so I don't know what you would be able to see.
Now, you know your principal. David Snyder is a great tennis player.
I did not know that.
Did you know? You didn't know that.
No.
He's a really good tennis player.
Really?
Yep. He's an avid player. In the summer, he probably plays 2 or 3 nights a week.
Wow.
Plays on a team, plays live. I've known him for a long time through tennis. He's a good, very solid player, very good player.
I'm a good washers player.
Are you?
Yeah, I want a washers league on Wednesday night in the summertime.
Where?
Well, we used to be up at the Lake House Grill up in Maryville, but they closed down, so... we are switching and going over to the old Knights of Columbus Plaza in Collinsville. Now it's just called Columbus Plaza, so we're going to be playing there this year.
Sweet.
Wednesday nights,
Columbus Plaza.
Yeah.
I'll be there. It's only about a mile from my house.
Right.
Todd Duke, Kayak Sports Network, thanks so much for stopping by here today. And your next telecast, your next live stream is going to be?
Well, I have one tomorrow. I'm not sure when this is airing, but Tuesday. Right now, the way the schedule is set up, every Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Saturday afternoon, I'll have a game. And now, starting tomorrow, I'm also going to live stream the junior varsity games because junior varsity parents are shut out just as much as everybody else is. So for the time being, I'm going to do a JV game every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, followed by a varsity game every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
I'm going to say this also. If you're a Kayak parent and you're listening to Todd Duke and you love what he's doing, help him get some sponsorship. If you own the business, if you know the business, get behind this guy because he's bringing it for your community, for all you're doing for Collinsville. Thanks. And for the Metro East, Todd Duke, Kahawk Sports Network. Stay in touch, right?
Thank you. I will.
With a beautiful new office in Edwardsville, Pin Oak Agency Insurance and Risk Management will work with you to find just the right insurance for your car, home, health, business, or farm. Don't forget the farm, Katie. A lifelong resident of the Metro East, Andy Calloway is here to help your family safeguard against the unexpected and plan for the future. And if you're looking to refinance an existing mortgage, let Andy Calloway help your family save money today by taking advantage of the incredibly low mortgage rates. He helped my family. The Lifes are saving money every single month thanks to Andy Calloway. Give Pin Oak Agency a call today at 288-9375 to set up your appointment. Andy and his staff will listen to you and help you reach your goals, or find them on Facebook at Pin Oak Agency and tell them we sent you, of course. Katie, happy. Hoppy.
Close enough.
Katie Hoppy.
Hoppy.
Katie Hoppy. H-A-P-P-E. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And everybody wants to call you Katie Pons.
Yeah, it'll still happen for a while.
Because you've only been married for...
Since August. So however many months that is, we've made it.
It's all downhill from here, I think, now.
That's
what
I've heard.
It'll be awesome. But you got your first win the other night as head coach of the Edwardsville Tigers girls basketball team.
We did, after just only two practices of scrimmaging, and we got to work some things out, so it was awesome to see the girls back on the court.
So you got 2 days, 2 days of actual practice where you could have like an actual scrimmage, and then you played a game.
Correct. So we started the week before we could have non-contact, so drills, shooting, walking through offenses, but literally no touching of player to player until Thursday.
So how much offense did you actually run? Was it pretty normal, fairly normal, half normal? What was it?
I would say it's halfway normal. We tried to get through a lot of things just to see at game speed because we haven't been able to. But what we ran to the ability that we're able to probably wasn't quite there.
It's not going to look like it's going to look in 2 weeks.
Correct. So I talked with another coach the other day, and they're like, man, you know, you may have some rough spots now, but here in a couple of weeks, they're really going to start clicking once they have a little more time together and can feel out the game.
And you got the job last year.
I did.
So you get the job, and then you don't get to coach.
It was madness. Like, I can't tell you enough how prepared I felt after being under Blade. And I had all these ideas in my head because she was awesome and let me do a ton of things as an assistant. So I kept thinking, man, this is what I'm going to do when I get to practice, you know, for summer weightlifting, playing, tournaments we're going to. And then it was completely like, now what do I do?
And it's like having a beautiful new car and you can't drive it.
Yep.
I mean, you must have been champing at the bit. You must have just been like, oh, I finally get my opportunity and I can't do it.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a great group of kids returning, two to three starters, obviously, and a lot of juniors that we have in the class. So really just giving them the opportunity to play together fully, which they haven't really because they've been in and out for one another. So
it's so hard for you, I would think, coaching a team sport. You know, I coach tennis. So kids can go off and they can play tennis, but they're not playing tennis on the court with four other people, right? I mean, so your sport, I think this has really been tough for you.
It has. Team chemistry, I mean, they all get along off the court, but just timing and where somebody's going to be, what kind of shots they like, where they like it in their pocket, just player tendencies that you really need time to play through to really understand and to gel.
And learning that offense, learning your defense, learning all that stuff, I would imagine that would have been just crazy.
Yeah, I kind of laughed after I watched the film the last couple of days from Saturday, and I'm like, man, I thought we were better defensively. And it's just minor things that we haven't been able to go over or at the speed that we've wanted to. So some really positive things we could get from the game Saturday and easy things to improve moving forward.
Good opponent, and it was a close game, and you kind of pulled away in the fourth quarter and came away with it. Were you nervous? More nervous than you were as a player?
Oh, yeah. It's weird. When I was a player, I felt like I was in control. You know, like there was so much I can do. As a coach, it's you relaying the message and the kids really executing. It's not me, it's them.
And I hope you've been listening. You know what I mean? It's like, I hope you've been listening. We're about to find out. Yeah, because you are relying on someone else. And you played in high school and you played everything in high school.
I did. It was fun.
You played basketball. You played softball. And that was it, right?
Volleyball.
And you played volleyball. That's right. You played volleyball too.
Yeah, three sports all 4 years.
And you played for great coaches, one of whom you worked with. You wind up working with Lori Blade in two sports. What did you learn from her?
Gosh, everything. I remember being an eighth grader and thinking I want to play for Lori Blade. And I have two older brothers who went to the high school before me. And I remember my parents asking me, because I played everything, they're like, do you want to go to Edwardsville? You know, do you want to go to a private school where it may be more obtainable to play three sports, to do this, to, you know, and I was smaller. I still am. Not growing anymore. But I wanted to go to Edwardsville. I wanted to compete there. I wanted to play for Lori Blade and Donna Farley. I wanted the opportunity to compete. And they truly taught me that no matter how undersized or if I wasn't as athletic, they taught me to understand the game, which was much more than anything else.
But you loved it.
I did.
And you thrived at all three, and then you wind up going to McKendree, where you play softball and basketball. Continue your careers there, right?
Yeah, I couldn't choose. And when I was looking at college, I really wanted to be able to play both because those were my two loves, was basketball and softball. Not that I didn't like volleyball, but it was just a different type of competitive atmosphere. And so McKendree, I was able to play both, and that's really why I went there.
And you had an amazing career. Fifth all-time in scoring at McKendree in basketball?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow, you shot the ball a lot.
I know. I mean, sometimes people thought my arm may fall off, but, you know, shoot or shoot.
And you loved your softball career, too. Where did you play in the field then?
My first 2 years, I played shortstop, and then I actually didn't play my junior year. My dad got sick. And so I decided to take some time off and I just played basketball and I had kind of an injury where if I continued playing softball, I would have had to have surgery. So I just played basketball. And then my senior year, I went back out. I was like, you know what? I love it. I just want to play. You know, I truly think I can compete. And I played a little bit of second, a little bit of short. I ended up playing outfield when somebody got hurt. So really I was the player that if they needed something, that's where I went.
Good for you.
My freshman year, I even pitched.
No kidding.
Oh, it was one pitch, you know, and we got the stomach flu, or it was like food poisoning. And so we're out in Arizona, you know, and I'm just off of basketball. I've thrown a ball, but that's about it. And everybody's sick. And my fellow freshman was a pitcher, and she was like the last pitcher left, you know, and we're playing like the number three NAIA school in the nation. And she just can't get out of the inning. And my assistant coach goes out there. We call time. I'm playing short, and, you know, I'm not in my head active listening. And she's like, you know what? If you can't do it, Katie's going to go into pitch. And I laugh and I'm like, yeah, you know, if you don't get this next batter, I got it. And she didn't get the next batter. So she tossed me the ball and I'm like, okay, no warm up, no nothing. You know, I wasn't really a pitcher, but I could throw the ball over the plate. And my mom was there and gosh, I threw one pitch and they thought, man, this is a meatball and grounded out to short. But my mom's like, they could have killed you. You don't throw that hard.
That's awesome. I saw you play hoops a couple times. You're tough.
I was mean.
If the ball was on the ground, you were on the ground to get it first. That's what I saw. I saw that more than once.
It just wasn't even a second thought. Like,
where did you learn that?
The ball.
Is it because you had older brothers?
Oh, absolutely. We played anything and everything growing up. And, I mean, if I wasn't on the ground, they were already past half court scoring. So
so you had to learn to survive. You exactly. had to learn to be tough. And I still see you out there playing pickup with the guys, playing pickup ball with the guys. You just fit right in.
Well, yeah, I'm a little bit shorter, but I understand the movement of it. And like I said, I love to compete, whether I'm done playing now or not. So finding different things now that I can still do to stay active and to be involved in the game, I think it helps me as a coach, too, because I see different things, even as I play now, that are different from 5, 6, 10 years ago.
You were an assistant in the program for a long time under Coach Blade, but now you're the head coach. Has that been different than you thought it was going to be?
I think it's obviously different, and COVID has had some stuff to do with it, but there's just so many ins and outs, like the emails I get in the day about scheduling or buses or small things like that, but also having a completely new staff. So when I was at Edwardsville, we did have some new people, but for the majority of it, we had a strong core. So really getting people who haven't been a part of the Edwardsville program acquainted with it and kind of understanding, you know, the Edwardsville way, whether it be Lori Blade's program or my program, I think the fundamentals in terms of working hard, understanding the game, things like that. So making sure other people understand that as well. So it's different because I'm not just teaching the players, but I'm teaching the coaches as well.
I saw so much girls basketball in the last however many years, because our workout program coincided with like Tuesday, Thursday night. So I would watch at least the first half all the time. And then I had so many just incredible girls in class, and I wanted to see him play. I would describe the Edwardsville Tiger way as ball movement.
Absolutely.
There is so much ball movement. It is so precise. It is so fun to watch the way the girls move about the court and their hustle on defense. It's fun to watch.
It is so much fun. And people don't understand how smart our girls are. Like, if you went through, I've got playbooks, my practice plans from the past 5 years as an assistant. And if you looked through and counted up all our plays, I mean, there would be over 100 in terms of different options from reads, different out of bounds plays, sideline, 2 minute game. It is incredible what the girls learn and retain from year to year.
And you're putting a lot of girls in school.
Absolutely. Who are getting it paid for and are doing awesome.
I just saw two girls playing for the Salukis right now, starring Mariah. Also doing her thing.
She is, and she's doing awesome. So that's so good to see.
Shout out to her, Mariah Haywood. one of my all-time favorites.
Gosh, she is a goofball. She is such a good kid. So happy. Like, if you saw that kid not smiling, like, something was going on, and you had to make her laugh.
She's a good one.
She is.
And what are you going to keep doing with softball at EHS? Have you thought about that? Have you talked about that?
We've talked about it. So we'll see how it goes. Blade may want to do it for another 5 years. You never know. And you... I mean, she's a legend. She's awesome at what she does. So I'm more than willing to help her for as long as she wants me to help, and then we'll see from there.
And you're a busy girl.
I am.
You're teaching math. You're teaching math. You're the head coach. You're assistant coach. You just got married. How you finding time to do all this stuff?
I mean, it's been my life. I've never not been busy, so I don't feel like it's very different. In high school from playing three sports, and college playing two. I mean, I think it's good, and my husband's the same way, so he's not against it at all. He's like, coach, as long as you want, as many things as you want, like, we're going to have kids, we're going to make it work, it'll be great.
Wow. There you go.
He's a superstar.
You got that figured out. That's the tough thing.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, 100%, because he played college basketball at McKendree, too, and actually went to Southern Indiana and coached for 2 years, so he thought about going the education route and really wanted to coach, and then decided... He didn't like it as much as playing, and he wanted me to be able to do what I wanted to do, and, you know, he loves watching. He's back involved in the game in different ways, and we talk basketball, so it's good.
Are you having as much fun now coaching as you did playing? Because you loved playing.
Oh, gosh, it's so different. Being able to see kids go on and play and grow is better than seeing yourself grow. So that is very awesome, but the competitive part of it, of playing, like, Kate Martin, perfect example. I would go against her in days in practice, and I would just tell her, you can't guard me. And she would laugh, and I'm like, I'm serious. And we would battle, and we would go back and forth. But being able to get kids to learn how to really compete, lay it out on the line, is a huge thing. So playing and coaching are pretty even up there with me, I guess.
Love Kate Martin. Glad you brought her up. Iowa Hawkeye.
She's doing awesome.
She asked me one time in class, she started asking me a question that rolled my eyes. She goes, why do you hate that? Why do you hate to answer our questions? And I said, why do you hate to listen when I tell you three times and I put it on the website and I put it on a piece of paper and I put it in front of you? And she laughed. She's a funny kid. I like her.
You should have said something like, what would you say if Coach Blade said that?
Yeah. No, she's a funny kid. She made me laugh every day. I loved having her in class. Katie Hoppe, thanks so much for coming by. When's the next game for you?
Wednesday.
Against?
O'Fallon.
Tough one. That's the last game you played last year. So that'll be a good one for everybody.
It will. So hopefully our live streaming will be pretty good through Facebook if anybody wants to watch. So they can hopefully see it for free. But, yeah, tune in.
Oh, that'll be a good one, folks. Katie Hoppe, Edwardsville Tigers, thanks so much for coming by today.
Thank you.
Now we welcome to the studio from Muscoota Basketball, boys basketball team coach Cole Shoemaker and his star player Justin King. Welcome to the show, guys.
Appreciate you having us. Looking forward to it.
It's getting a little snowy out there.
We thought the roads were going to be a little more worse than they were, but it wasn't too bad.
But no matter how bad the weather is, you feel great because you are getting to play basketball.
2 weeks ago, we weren't so sure. Some kind of miraculously miracle just happens, and now, you know, we're getting a shot to play. So Thursday night, we're going to let it go.
And you get the job in August.
Yep.
After a terrible tragedy. Coach Justin Love passes away suddenly, and you take over in this situation, and then it's a tough situation to begin with, and then you have to sit and not, and you're not able to play when you normally would. So that just makes a really tough situation even worse for you.
It definitely wasn't easy, for sure. You know, Justin meant a lot to a lot of people. You're going through that, and now the kid's not getting a chance to play forever. So it was definitely difficult. The worst thing was not knowing. You know, you go on Twitter and you watch TV, and you just all the negativeness, what's going on. You're not so sure. But now hopefully we get a chance to actually play, which looks good. You know, Thursday we got Madison, and hopefully these kids can just move on, let loose a little bit, which they're waiting to do for months now, to let loose and, you know, be kids and play hard.
That's what I saw, that you were going to open up on the 12th against Roxana, yep. But you've added a game,
yep,
against
Coach
Madison.
Coach Battis added a game against Madison on Thursday. So that's one more game. So we'll got Madison on Thursday and then Roxana on Friday.
Your outstanding athletic director, Scott Battis.
He's the man.
Justin, how excited are you to get back on the hardwood floor this week?
Oh, I'm excited. I mean, I miss playing with all my guys. It's been almost 10 months since I've played with them. So, like, it means a lot being able to play with them again and be in the gym and just, like, having that vibe, just, like, just being together. That means more than, like, playing AAU with all my teammates. That's just being, like, with my family.
How did you keep yourself engaged in basketball? How did you keep yourself fit and strong? How did you maintain your skills or develop your skills during this COVID time?
I was able to actually train with my former eighth grade coach, Coach Eldon, during the whole summer and in spring. I was able to be with him. And then my AAU director, Coach Barrington, I was able to be in the gym with him at least once a week, like staying, just getting shots up and stuff. So, like, I've been able to, like, get in the gym at least 3 times per week during the summer. And then also during this winter when everything was, like, hectic, not knowing when we'll be able to play with our school team, I've been able to play tournaments. Like, credits to my athletic, like, my AAU director, being able to, like, put tournaments together and stuff. So, like, I've been able to keep myself going. I mean, it felt great, but it just wasn't that same vibe as I feel now, being able to play with all my teammates and stuff.
What's it like coaching this kid?
He works his butt off. I mean, he's always in the gym. Like, he hasn't stopped playing. You know, our football coach, Coach Lee, he does the athletic weight fit. He's bragging about Justin consistently, how hard he works, even more than his football players at times. I think he had, 35-inch vertical the other day, something like that. He hasn't stopped working. He's been waiting for this day to get a chance to play. It's hard for some kids, you know, not knowing, you know, you kind of take a step back and, well, we're going to get a play, you know. But he constantly has just been working, just hoping get a chance to play, and now it's time to go.
Let's talk about your squad this year. It's going to be led by this guy out front, 6'3", silky smooth guy with the handles is what I'm reading about, and that's what everybody's saying about him, that he can create for himself or he can create for others on the floor, but he can't beat 5 people by himself. So what's the team look like?
We're solid. I mean, he's got the best vision I've seen in a while. I mean, he's just not a scorer. He'll do whatever it takes to win, you know, but we got a lot of senior leadership coming back. We got at least three and a half starters coming back from last year. Cedric Rhodes, the point guard, since starting since he's been a sophomore. You know, he's one of the best defenders that I think in the Metro East area. The kid can just guard 1 through 4. I mean, he never gets tired. He works his butt off. A couple juniors. Got a 6'5" senior, or not senior, center, Jack Seibert. He's very skilled, big. He can shoot a little bit, step out and take you off the dribble. We got some guards as well. I mean, we're senior top heavy, but we got some young kids who we're really excited about as well. Sophomore boy, Darian Singleton. He's a sophomore, a little off the radar right now, and he's going to be a big part of what we do as well. But again, we're a lot of guys coming back. They've just been working their butts off in the weight room, in the gym, just getting a chance to actually play. It's time to go.
And you're building on success.
Yep.
2019, yep. First regional title in 11
long
years,
time.
And that felt good.
Yep, long time.
Coach, you were an assistant on that team.
Yep. Coach Love was able to do that. I mean, it's been a long time since we did that. Actually, the last time they had won that, I was a junior at Modern Day, and they had beaten us at Modern Day. That was the last time that they had won one, so it was a long time coming. You know, there was nothing like that. I think he was there. Nothing like playing, you know, against Highland in the packed house. I've never seen a gym that packed. You couldn't get anybody else in. Kind of different right now, having only 50 fans. We're going to have to get used to that. But that was a crazy feeling, crazy experience. I've never seen nothing like that.
And eventually we'll get back to those packed gyms.
I hope so, yeah.
In the meantime, my prediction is you're going to enjoy playing with a smaller crowd.
We'll see. They're going to be able to hear me a lot more, that's for sure. I have to watch.
You'll like it. You'll be like, you know what? These kids aren't going to be looking in the stands.
That's a good point.
The kids feed off that energy for maybe sure. A little bit, and the kids are going to look for their friends, and they're going to miss winking at so-and-so and so-and-so. But coaches, you want that focus. It doesn't matter to
for
you.
Sure. And the one thing I am a little bit worried about, and I wouldn't say worried about, but, you know, like you said, feeding off the energy, feeding off our fans. You know, we got a good fan base who come and watch it every night. And you watch these college games where, you know, we like watching Illinois play. He likes Io DeSumo a lot. So you watch the fans or the players, and they're always hyped up. They're always crazy, you know, clapping, going nuts. And we've been talking about that at practice a lot, bringing the hype, bringing the juice, you know. That's something we're going to have to do because we're going to feed off each other because the fans aren't going to be there.
Create your own energy.
That's right.
Is that what Coach is saying?
Bring the juice, right?
Yeah, that's what you say. That's what Coach Reynolds say. That's what, like, everyone says. And I feel that vibe a lot. Like, in practice, like, just at times, it just I feel like it's louder in the gym sometimes than during games because we just bring that energy every day. And we're working on it. Sometimes we could get a little that lack of energy, but like most of the time it's a lot of energy. And then like I'm really excited to see how it looks like in games. It's going to be really fun. I feel like it's going to be really fun playing in front of our teammates and just hearing our teammates be excited and loud than how it would be like in an actual game where you just like just hear the fans. I just feel like it means more hearing your teammates for being sure. Like wanting to succeed or wanting to see you succeed for the team than like seeing fans and your parents succeed.
Yeah.
No fans, mask, whatever it takes.
We
would have done whatever it takes to play. It doesn't matter at that point, you know.
Yeah, and don't forget, there's always going to be that one fan, too, who's not your fan. You got to be ready to listen to that guy, too. Yep. What's the key to that?
He's got to battle through it. They're battle-tested, man. I'm not too worried about that.
Don't let him know you hear him. Yeah. Don't look at him. Don't respond. Coach Cole, you agree with that or not?
Yeah, for sure. No doubt.
Another thing you're saying a lot in Muscoota is energy, attitude, toughness.
Yep. That's Coach Battis right there. Let's eat. He's an energy guy. I mean, you can feel it. I mean, as soon as you walk into the building, I mean, it's who he is. I mean, it's not a front. I mean, he likes to bring the energy. You know, you feed off of that. He is proud to be from Muscoota. He is proud of our facilities and what, you know, he has helped brought to the table. I would put our facilities up against almost anybody. Edwardsville is probably top notch, but, you know, we're right there. Like I said, Coach Battis is full of energy. He's proud of where he's coming from. He wants to be the best, and I think that's awesome. It's easy to work for the guy.
It's the direction you're going in terms of your facilities. Yep. It doesn't matter. You know, don't compare yourself to somebody else, just like the kids on your team.
Yep.
Don't compare yourself to somebody else. And the improvement in those facilities, because he walked me around that school, and he showed me everything. And the facilities improvement is dramatic. New tennis courts, new pavilion by the tennis courts, the football facilities upgrades, the press box, on and on and on. It's cool. And you know what? He's naturally, genuinely, sincerely proud of it. And it is infectious. I like that you said that because I wanted to ask you if you felt that, if you felt that energy.
It's who he is. I mean, it's not a front. I mean, that's who Scott is. I mean, he brings it every day. And the kids feel it. We feel it. You know, we want to make him proud and make Muscoota proud. You know, we enjoy, you know, we're from Muscoota, you know, we're there, and we want to do our best to make them happy and make them proud.
That's cool. So what should I expect to see in your team this year? What's the attitude going to be? When that first ball tips off, what do you want to see in that team?
We're going to be tough. If we're not, I'm going to be upset. That's something I pride myself on. The kids have been grinding now, you know, for 2 weeks, well, for 6 months. I mean, they've been waiting for this. Toughness is something I'm priding the whole program in, from freshman level all the way to senior level. If you can't sit there and take a charge, you're not going to play. If you can't get down and dive on loose for a loose ball, you're not going to play. It's just something I believe in. You know, we're athletic. It's just little things. You know, those little things win games. Taking the charge, like I tell him all the time. I said, you know, he can jump out the gym. Everyone gets so excited about a charge. You know, it's a charge. You know. But you think about it, you take a big old dunk, everyone gets so pumped up, right?
It's 2 points.
You take a charge, the whole gym does the same thing. You know, it's the exact same thing. You know, just feed off that. The teammates are going wild. So tough. If we're not tough, I'm going to be upset. I'm pretty sure, you know, we're going to make that happen.
And you're instilling that toughness every day. And you're nodding ahead, and you want to play for a coach that wants toughness out of his team.
Yeah, he always preaches being a junkyard dog.
Yes, sir.
That's what, on Thursday, that's what I expect everyone to be. He's been preaching that for the past maybe 2 years about being a junkyard dog. And I feel like I've finally reached that level of being a junkyard dog, and I'm just ready to release that when it comes Thursday, just to show him, especially him, that I can actually just be a junkyard dog, because he's always harping on me on that, but I feel like I really improved in that area.
And it's almost like you have to be two different people.
I tell the boys all the time, that's the one thing you never want to be called on the basketball court, soft. You don't want to be called soft. And I'm not going to say he was ever soft, but he wasn't a JYD back then yet. He's come a long way. I mean, literally. I mean, he's on the floor. He is doing what I asked. He's on the floor. He's clapping. He's taking charge of things that he didn't do previously. We always knew the skill was there. The skill was always there with Justin. Now it's just little things, tune those things up, and he's getting there.
So you've seen him. You've seen a major improvement.
Yeah, for sure.
So he was already one of the top 25 kids in his class as a sophomore, but now as a junior, you've seen him make a jump, mainly in terms of his toughness and intensity. Is that fair?
It's great to see, you know, when your best player is your most improved player too. And he's not satisfied from where he was last year. You know, he continues to want. He wants to be better. He's got a goal set where he wants to play college basketball, whatever level that may be. We're not going to get into that. You know, but he's going to work as hard as he possibly can to, you know, to fulfill those goals, whatever that level may be. You know, D1, D2, whatever that may be, he's going to work his tail off to make it happen.
You a leader? You like leading?
Yes, sir. I love leading. I get it from my dad. My dad was just a leader in the Air Force, and he's always preaching me to lead by example. Back when I used to play football, before every time I go into practice, he always used to tell me that to go out there and lead by example. That's always just stuck with me, like, in the classroom. Like, always get good grades and try to lead, for example, for, like, my little brother. Especially try to teach him, like, okay, this is how you do right stuff, like, right from wrong. And it's, like, how to always do your best in everything you do. So I enjoy leading. It makes me feel good that, like, I get to lead people in the right direction and show people, like, how to do things the right way.
Dang.
He's got a
I tell you what, man, this kid is smooth, man. Like I said, he's smooth behind the microphone here, and he's smooth on the basketball court, I hear. So I'm looking forward to seeing you play. I'm gonna sneak in the gym. Even if I don't fall in that 1-50, see if I can't sneak in the gym.
I think Coach Bass will sneak you in.
You think? Yeah. I've known him for a very long time.
Know somebody.
I've known him for a very long time. I bet you I can get in that gym. How'd you get into basketball? Has it just always been a thing for you?
I don't know. Football was my first love. I played for about 7 years, starting when I was six. But basketball, because I grew up on base, I was always at the gym with all my friends, whether it was at, like, the youth center or, like, the actual James gym on base. And then basketball kind of just, like, took over because I got bored with football, and I started playing basketball more. And then it just, like, I think I realized, like, my potential. I think after freshman year, when I started playing with the Illinois Bears, that's when I realized, okay, now I can actually do something with this game and actually go somewhere with it. And I think the major jump was when I hit my growth spurt, going into my sophomore year, when I hit 6'2", I was like, okay, all right, now, like, I can actually do something. I have height. Because I wasn't really always the tallest. I was about maybe 5'10", 5'11". Maybe like third, fourth tallest on the team. Then I hit a growth spurt. And then, like, my skill set was always there, but I was always short. And when I hit that growth spurt, just, like, everything changed. So then that's when I started working hard and, like, okay, now it's time to work on my game now that I got the height.
He sprouted up pretty quickly.
6'3".
Yeah.
6'3".
Still going.
I would say 6'4".
Still going. Yeah.
I want to hit 6'6". I'm 6'4" now. I think I may be 6'5". I wouldn't say officially, but I'll say I'm 6'4" right now.
Good for you.
6'4".
You gotta watch what you eat. I would think. Feed that machine the right stuff. You might wind up 7'2".
See, I had them when they were freshmen, so I've had these kids now for 3 years. And I guess he wasn't lying. He was just this little guy. He sprouted up pretty quick.
So he didn't, like, when you saw him as a freshman, you didn't see this coming. I mean, like, you knew the kid was good.
I mean, his skill was always there. You know, like you said, the ball handling was always there. The shooting was always there. The smartness was always there. I didn't think he'd be 6'3", 6'4", you know.
Yeah. Way to get tall. Good job.
I wasn't really fast.
He's eating something, right?
I wasn't really fast. I really couldn't jump either. I mean, but like that actually that summer going into sophomore year, I put in like a lot of work, like working on my body. Like I went to Jacob Tucker to work on my jumping abilities, and then it was like 3 days a week, 9 o'clock in the morning every week for like the whole 3 months of summer. That really transformed my body. And then this past summer, that's when I really like put in the work. Like during quarantine, that's when I took everything serious and like used every day as an advantage, like as a extra day to like put in work, like get ahead of the competition.
Our weight fit program in Muskoda is legit. Coach Lee does an awesome job. Coach Campbell does an awesome job. And they brag about him constantly. Our Coach Campbell says, he's not going to quit until you get to 35, 36 inch vertical. He'll do whatever you ask. I mean, he's one of those kids that's yes, sir. I mean, no, sir. He's just a good kid. I mean, it's easy to coach kids who want to be good, who want to work. So it makes it a lot easier.
You got that right. Yep. Motivation.
Yep.
Go back to Battis. He's the one who came up with that program, and he's the one who created that weight room.
Yep. Sir.
So it goes back to him again. Like that's part of that big picture there in Muskoda, where I think you got it going on.
I mean, he saw a vision, man. I mean, that's long before I got there, and it's working. I mean, again, it's easy to work for the guy because he wants you to be good. He gives you everything you possibly need, and now it's your job to go to work.
You don't have to be from the town in which you are the athletic director to be motivated.
Nope.
But I tell you what, you know, because people like Amy Boscolo at Highland's doing a fantastic job. Yep. She's from Chicago. She's doing an amazing job in Highland. But I notice how many people are ADs and are from that, went to that high school.
It's just something a little different.
It's a little different. They really like Mark Briggs at Roxana, yep. At Mater Dei.
Ronnie Shattuck, yep.
Mr. Shattuck right there. Battis.
It's not
John Mode, Granite City.
It's something different. Being from that hometown, you just put a little extra effort.
I agree. And I was surprised at how many people, once I started the show, and I was like, whoa.
Yep.
It's been fun. Hey, well, best of luck to you, man, this week. I'll be rooting for you. I'm going to sneak in. I'm going to see you play. Guaranteed.
Thank you.
Guaranteed. I'm going to have you on next year. I'm going to keep up when you make your decision. I want to have him on again, and we'll keep talking to you.
Make it work.
And good luck to you.
Appreciate it.
Beginning of your career.
It's
yeah.
Fun. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, you're doing a good job. Battis says you're doing a good job, and it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be fun.
We'll make it work. I mean, we're looking forward. Just getting a chance to play. It's all that matters. You know, we'll give it our best shot.
All right. As always, the guests make the show here on the Metro Esports Podcast. Big thanks to Jeb Blassingame, Todd Duke, Katie Hoppy, and Cole Shoemaker here. Justin King, Muskoda Basketball, Amphor Partners, Pin Oak Agency, Cassins & Sons, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb and Ginger Blassingame. Big thanks to our producers, Brian Kroc and Everett Hicks, and our interns at Zuggy J. Thanks for listening to the Metro East Sports Podcast, talking all things sports in the Metro East.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.